Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So here at Pneuma Church, throughout the month of November, we're actually doing a preaching series, a sermon series on the area of healing. And today, I'm going to be speaking to you on the healing journey. On the healing journey. So let's get straight into the Word of God. Who's got their Bibles with them? Good to see them. Let's all turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. 2 Kings chapter 5. Verses 1 to 19. And the scriptures will be on the screen behind me as well. So verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. Now Aram was actually a neighbor to Israel, was at the north side of Israel. And they were actually an enemy, an adversary to Israel. And he, Naaman, was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. And in today's value, that would probably equate to about $14 to $15 million worth. So quite a bit. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Now, as soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me." Now, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you have not done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he, Naaman, went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he's leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." And Elisha said, "Go in peace." So here we see Naaman. We see a really successful man, a valiant man, a victorious soldier. But there was a serious contradiction in his life. Naaman looked like he had it all together. But underneath his armor, there was something he could not fix. He had leprosy, a skin condition, which back then was incurable, untreatable. And we see that sickness and disease is so contradictory. Whether it's something as small as the man flu, or something as serious as leprosy, there's something that is so contradictory about sickness that we face and feel. And about 20 years ago, I experienced a contradiction of my own. Now, when I was 18, I woke up one morning really groggy. As I got out of bed, I just felt this heaviness come upon me. I felt this fog and fatigue in my mind and in my body. And I couldn't seem to shake it off. No matter what I did or how long I slept in bed, it didn't quite shake away. And day after day, I would constantly feel tired. I would feel this heaviness. Do you know that feeling when you haven't quite had enough sleep? But this was like so lingering and so heavy that I'd feel constantly tired through the day. And day after day, month after month, this fatigue, this fog, this heaviness continued to linger on. And it actually became my new normal. Every day felt like I was swimming through mud. And I can't even swim. It was really hard. And my symptoms didn't even feel like normal at all. Not only did I have this heaviness, this fog and this fatigue, over time, I started developing these really weird sensitivities to food. Even healthy food, where whatever I would eat, it would either trigger pain through my body where I could just feel it constantly. Like, it was like being tasered through the day. And also over time, my sleep started to deteriorate. whenever I went to sleep, I just struggled to fall asleep. I experienced like insomnia. And then over time, I used to grow up playing soccer, doing athletics. But over time, I found that with all the fatigue and all the tiredness, that my body just couldn't handle doing simple exercise anymore. Just going for a simple run for a couple of hundred meters would trigger insomnia that night to like a really severe degree. And I would just be feeling even more exhausted the next day. So I'd manage myself. I'd not exercise and stay away from certain foods so I could conserve my energy just to get through a day. And so imagine you couldn't eat properly, you couldn't sleep properly, you couldn't exercise. And all you could feel was pain through your body, constant tiredness, and just a heaviness that would not leave. Talk about a contradiction. And the thing is, no one would have known from the outside. It was all happening within. But in the midst of our contradictions, we move towards hope. We always move towards God. And that's probably one of the biggest lessons I learned. When we are hurting, when we are tired, when we are suffering and we are in pain, it's often our first instinct to actually run away and to turn away from God. It's so easy to. But the healing journey begins when we stop running from God, even in the suffering and pain, and start moving towards hope and start moving towards God. And we see this in Naaman starting his own journey towards God. Let's go to verse 3. It says, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So I think it's really interesting that there is a servant girl from Israel in his house. And I think it's amazing that she actually shares a message of hope to this man. And what's even more amazing, I find, is that Naaman actually listens to this servant girl. And we see as we continue reading on that he actually starts his journey towards Israel, who is actually his enemy. He prepares himself. He takes things with him to go on the journey of hope, not knowing what was to come ahead. And so he was on the journey to see the prophet of God, Elisha. Now, back then, the prophet of God was God's representative here on earth. The prophet would speak on behalf of God. He would act on behalf of God. And so seeing a prophet back then was just like seeing God himself. And so Naaman was on the journey towards God. And so we see Naaman on his journey through the midst of his contradiction. And so, for me, through my contradiction, what I did to actually turn to God, it was actually quite hard at times. I actually really found it hard to actually stay focused at times and like literally just sit down and read the Word of God. Like, I was just so tired. I struggled to read the word, and I felt so guilty about that. Lord, if I was a better Christian, I could just spend time in your word and just be with you. But I really struggled. And so what I did, I found an alternative. I would listen to so many sermons and preachers on DVD, on back then, or YouTube. Who remembers DVDs? Who's still got a DVD player? I see a hand. But I would make sure that I was just listening, even when I was so tired. I was listening to the Word of God and drawing close. And one of a real healing thing for me was also to actually put on some worship music, because I could just put it on and just lay in bed or just lay on the couch and just be in His presence. And something else I really learned to draw near to God is, even when I didn't have the energy to speak or to speak to God or share with Him, like Hannah, I learned how to pray with a silent mouth but a loud heart. There's always something that we can do to draw near to Him. And so the question we need to ask ourselves today is, in the midst of your pain and in the midst of your suffering, how do you move towards hope? How are you turning to God? Now, even though I prayed, even though I listened to all the sermons I could, even though I was in the house of God as much as I could, and even though I prayed all that I could, nothing actually shifted how I was feeling. The exhaustion, the pain, the suffering was not shifting. What do you do? And over the years, I tried everything, not just drawing near to God, but in the natural. I tried every supplement at Chemist Warehouse, especially when they had their sales. I tried everything. I tried every diet. I was so obsessed with health and trying to fix myself. I would spend hours just researching and just trying to figure out what was wrong with me. What can I do to get better? And when I thought I couldn't feel any worse, or things could get even lower or harder, things did. In 2020, we all experienced it here in Melbourne. COVID happened. Who remembers COVID? They were some fun times, weren't they? They were the times of our lives. COVID hit. And now, up to that point, I'd already been suffering for about 15 years, day after day. COVID hits, lockdowns hit, adding a little bit of work stress as well. And things actually did get worse. A downward spiral into the abyss occurred. There was nothing I could do about it. I couldn't escape it. I actually had hit rock bottom. And all I wanted to do was escape. At that time, I faced severe depression, severe anxiety, and severe suicidal thoughts and ideations. That just made things even worse. I didn't know that things could even get more excruciating and more tormenting than what I had already faced over the years, but it did. And here I was at rock bottom every day, moment after moment. All that would consume my mind was wanting to escape from my pain and from my suffering. They were the thoughts, the ideations of my mind constantly. And it was like being alive at your own funeral. Darkness was my covering, and I felt like I was drawing near to the pit of hell, the pit of death. And just like Naaman, at that point, I learned that the healing journey is not always what you want it to be. Let's go back to the scriptures and let's go to verse 9. Let's read from verse 9. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hands over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned off and went in a rage. Now Naaman was right. The Jordan River, was actually quite dirty and muddy waters. And it's not the best place where you would actively choose to be cleansed, wash and be cleansed. It's a bit like our lake out the front, as you may have seen it as you walked in. It looks really nice on a beautiful spring's day, but it's not the place where you would jump in and have a wash. I would rather go to Brighton Beach. I would rather go to the Peninsula Hot Springs to be cleansed. Can I get an amen? Now, it's really funny that Naaman says these words. He was actually expecting Elisha to come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. I think that's amazing. He hadn't even seen Benny Hinn yet. He probably didn't even know what that was. But like Naaman expected an instant miracle and for the healing to come a certain way, I did too. Now, I've grown up in the house of God. I've grown up in church. Grew up in a uniting church and a Pentecostal church. And I have grown up with faith. And I grew up and through the years expected God to heal me miraculously, instantly. It was what I was believing for and contending for every single day. Throughout that time, throughout those years, I would wake up every day expecting, "Lord, is this the day where you will miraculously heal me and transform me and revive me and raise me from the dead?" But it didn't come. It didn't come. It did not come the way I was expecting. But at this point in this story that we're reading, we actually see that Naaman actually suffered from two conditions. The first being leprosy. The second being pride. Naaman raged against God. He raged against Elisha. He wanted his miracle, his healing and breakthrough to come a certain way. And like Naaman, I did too. And so during this time, I actually got the revelation that I suffered from pride. Over the years, I was too proud to admit that I actually needed help. I was too proud to ask for help. Pride and fear consumed me. And so pride will make you turn and run away from hope, from help, and potentially from the help God offered. And one of the key things we learn in this story, what I have personally learned, is that the healing journey is humbling. It is humbling. And I had to do things I did not want to do. I had to tell family, I had to tell my friends, my work colleagues that I was struggling. They could already see. I actually had to go to a doctor, a GP, in my brokenness and say, I need help. There's nothing I could do. I had tried fixing myself, tried self-help for all the years prior, but nothing was working. And I was deeper in the abyss, deeper in the pit, and I could not pull myself out. I was humbled by a diagnosis of a generalized anxiety disorder. I was humbled by a diagnosis of severe depression. I was humbled that I needed to take medication for it. I was humbled that I had to go see a psychologist and a counselor for help. And so bigger than the antidepressants or the benzos I had to take, the bigger pill I needed to swallow was actually pride. And when we swallow our pride, it actually allows God to work. Let's go back to verses 13 and 14. Naaman's servants went to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. In the healing journey, we see that we need to keep washing until. We need to keep washing until. And we see two realities and really key things here in these passages. It is humility that allows us to actually come and obey the word of God and then act in faith. Naaman was asked to, wash 7 times, not just once, not just twice, not 3 times, but 7 times. Could you imagine how he felt going through that process? We already read how he did not want to wash in those waters, rightly so. But you see that Naaman actually had to go through a process. God was actually putting Naaman through a process. God could have healed him in a moment, waving his hands. But he chose not to. He offered the help of healing through the process. And so we see that obedience to the word of God was the key to Naaman's healing. But he had to humble himself and lower himself and get rid of pride to do that. He had to persist 7 times in faith, expecting for something to happen. We have to persevere. We have to persist in faith and keep washing until. And if we do, like Naaman, we will experience his power and the miraculous in the process. There is power in the process. And we see the result of this in verse 14. So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, just as the man of God had told him. And we see that he encounters the power of God. His flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. We see that there's power in the process. And we need to have faith, even if it's small as a mustard seed, in the midst of our contradiction on our journey. And I too realize that, like Naaman, I needed to humble myself through the process. I needed to continue to believe and persevere in faith and continue to wash myself until God did something. And God did. I'm so grateful that I got to encounter the power of God little by little, day after day, month after month, year after year, through that process. And that is the reason why I stand before you here today. Upright in my right mind, because I encountered his power and miraculous healing through the process. I'm so grateful for God that he was with me through the journey. And I'm so grateful for God that for medication and for medical help and for professional support through it. It's not what I wanted, but it's the journey and the process God had to take me through to humble me. But my journey is still not complete. It's still not complete. I still have issues with my sleep and my energy at times. It's nowhere near as severe as it used to be, but I'm still persisting through. At the moment, I still can't exercise the way I would love to. Even just going for a 100-meter run will over-trigger my nervous system and will disrupt my sleep. I can't go to the gym and lift heavy weights like I would want to. I'd love to do that, but right now I can't. And so my journey is still in process. It's still working. It's still ongoing. And I've learned, and we see in the scriptures so clearly, that the healing journey is actually more than just physical healing. The greatest healing and miracle Naaman encountered was not his healing of leprosy, but that he encountered the healer. He actually encountered God himself through the process. Naaman experienced the salvation of God. That is the greatest miracle. That is the greatest healing that Naaman experienced. And his life was forever changed, not just here on earth, but for all eternity. And we see that God was actually with him through the entire process, his entire journey. Through all the contradictions, he is with us in the journey. If you remember back to verse 1, we actually read, if we can go to verse 1. So Naaman was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. God was with Naaman well before he had a revelation of God. It's really interesting that Naaman was an enemy of God. He was from a different country and different nation who had been warring with Israel over the years. And here we see a contradiction that God was actually with Naaman long before Naaman even knew him. The Lord caused his success. And then we see that God was with Naaman when a little servant girl was actually sent to his home to share some hope and to share some good news with him. Thank God for those who share good news, hey? Can you see how God was drawing Naaman with Naaman long before he even knew him? And the crazy thing is, he was an enemy of God. An enemy of God. And so on his journey, we see that Naaman encountered God. He encountered the one who healed him. And his life was forever changed. And then we see afterwards, soon afterwards, that Jakey, if we can keep going in the scriptures, I think it's like verse 14, 15. Yeah, just verse 15, the second part of it. You can see the revelation that Naaman gets. Naaman goes back to Elisha and says, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." And then soon after this, we see Naaman wanting to offer gifts in thanks, in gratitude. But Elisha the prophet refuses that. And it shows us that the grace of God cannot be bought. The healing of God, the salvation of God cannot be bought. But we also see that Naaman, after this point, actually starts to change his life in repentance and starts to turn his life towards God. He actually changes the way he worships. We read how Elisha wouldn't accept the gifts from Naaman. Naaman actually asks for some piles of dirt from Israel to actually take it back home so that he could worship the one true God, which I think is amazing. And so from that, we see that The healing journey is a life journey. It's a lifelong journey. What I didn't tell you earlier at the start was to give you some context about the situation at the time. During this time where Naaman was being healed, God's very own people, the people of Israel, the very people whom God had healed and saved and rescued and delivered, were actually in a state of apostasy and actually had turned away from God through this time. They'd actually run away from their God and actually started to worship other gods. They had turned their back against the one true God. They were living in their own contradiction as enemies of God. And we see that this was such a contradiction. And here, during this time, we see an enemy of God actually being drawn in and invited into a relationship with God. While God's very own chosen people, his children, were running away and turning away from him. And so we see that the healing journey is not once off. It's something we continue on through the rest of our lives, where we continue to draw near to God. We turn towards hope. We turn towards God. When things don't happen or look or turn out the way that we want, we continue to move towards Him in spite of all of that. Where we need to humble ourselves from the pride and arrogance that we have so that we can obey God and trust in Him and His power at the due season. Or that we would have a relationship, or that we would have a life with God. And so, we all have a choice. It is the greatest gift God has given each one of us, even His chosen people, the people of Israel. He gave them choice. We choose the journey that we go on. Will we stay on the healing, the redemptive journey with God in the midst of our suffering, our pain, our contradictions? Or will we turn away from Him?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.